Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Left of Straight Show with your host, Scott Fullerton, as we discuss everything under the rainbow sun, from LGBT issues to foodies, entertainment to books. Join us as we talk to some of the most interesting leaders and celebrity LGBT guests and allies on the internet. So grab a cocktail, it's always happy hour somewhere, and enjoy the show. Now, here's your host, Scott Fullerton.
Hello, everybody. How we doing out there in Radio Land? Thanks for tuning in. This is the Left of Straight Show, and I am your host, Scott Fullerton. It is Monday, August 22nd. Wow, kids are going back to school now. Things are going flying by so quickly. Welcome to the show, everyone. I hope you had a fantastic weekend. Mine was very busy, but it was very, very nice. I had a whole bunch of things going on Saturday. As you know, I've talked about a couple of previous shows. I'm real big into politics, and so we're starting an LGBT caucus here in my area of Northeast Ohio. So the lady that is a friend of mine, she is part of Pride Youngstown, puts on the Pride Festival every year. Her and I are co-chairing this new LGBT caucus, where it's going to be a nonpartisan group where we're going to try to find the best candidates to get elected that's going to help best represent our LGBT community in my little neck of the woods here in Northeast Ohio. So we had an exploratory meeting on Saturday. Didn't have as big turnout as I wanted, but I think we're going to get a lot more push for it. We got a lot of support. I was on the news for it, and I think we're going to get a lot more support. So it's going to be a good thing. So that was Saturday day. And then Saturday afternoon, evening, Akron, Ohio was putting on what they call their Flare Fest as part of an LGBT weekend they were having. It's not exactly the Pride Festival, but they had an event Saturday night that I was invited to. It was Steve Grand, the musician, fantastic, of course, known for All American Boy. Great singer, does all genres of songs. He was the headliner, and then they had an amazing lesbian comedian come out before him. She was fantastic and just tore the place apart. She lives out in Cleveland area now, but she performed on Olivia Cruises and is a regular in Provincetown every summer, and it was just a great show had by all. Person I was supposed to go with last minute couldn't go. They couldn't get out of work. So I had an extra ticket, so I felt bad that I had an extra ticket to Steve Grand and didn't bring anybody with me. But I had a fantastic time. He was amazing live. I mean, I've loved his music, but I've only listened to, obviously, what I've seen online and when I downloaded the album, right? So I've never heard him live before. Live, he is amazing. He brought a very scaled-down band, just his regular guitar player and does backup vocals. Jesse was there. He's amazing, has arms of steel. Guys, looks great. Has that big fro, just very cool. And he brought Carlos on the drums. And it wasn't even a full drum set. It was actually an electronic drum set. And the three of them just made some great music. He did a lot of classic covers, everything from Elton John to, everything. It was just so good. That's great. Then, of course, he did everything off his American Boy album. So it was a great concert. Did it for like 2 hours. Then he had a meet and greet afterwards. He was selling some swag, and the band came out there afterwards. So I got to meet him afterwards. And if you guys remember, when I was talking way back to a good friend of the show, Trevor LaPaglia, when Trevor was on the show, I think he was last year or early January. Trevor was in L.A., and Trevor was Steve Grand's music video, the Christmas video they put out. He was his love interest in there. And Trevor's a good friend of the show. And so Trevor came on the radio show, did two interviews with me. And one of the interviews, Steve was in town, and him and Steve Grand were hanging out during my radio interview. And I hear him in the background, and he's goofing around. And so Trevor puts him on, and I end up talking to Steve Grand for a couple of seconds there and got him to go on my good friend Dylan Emerson's podcast while we were there. And I hooked him up for that. And then come to find out afterwards, Steve was playing around with his little video camera the whole time I was talking to Trevor and just taking pictures of the restaurant they were at. They're at a restaurant where actually Trevor was doing his interview from. And you see him talking to me. You see Steve picking up the phone and talking to me on it on a video. So I'm actually on a Steve Grand video, believe it or not. Not a music video, okay, but on a Steve Grand video that he has posted. So I talked to him about that after the show. He remembered it very well. Very cool. He's come on season two starting in September. So that is awesome. And I got a whole bunch of Steve Grand signed swag that I'll be giving away pretty soon too. So great night for me Saturday. It was out to all hours, but it was a lot of fun. We have a great show for you today. Of course, David Hernandez was supposed to be on today. He is the American Idol alumnus. He was on season 8. Came in 12th place, but had to leave. At the time, it felt like it was kind of mysterious circumstances, but he was kind of almost on the verge of being outed there, talking about his sexuality. He hadn't come out to everyone yet. They're talking about his sexuality. They're talking about he used to work as a stripper, and it just became really overwhelming for him at the time, and he dropped out of the race. And since then, he's come out. He has a new single now called Beautiful, and he was going to be on the show today, but he totally forgot he had a writing workshop he's going to today and tomorrow. So we're going to redo and do a pre-tape interview this week, and he'll be on either the next season in September or I'll do it next week. We'll see whichever way works out best. But good luck to him on his writing. But we do have a fantastic show today with Hayden Wallace. I met Hayden on social media. This guy is putting together a Pride Center in Mississippi and just going to town out there. And I really applaud anyone that works for our LGBT community, especially someone doing it in the South. We know that's a kind of a hard road to make there. So he'll be on in just a couple of minutes. A couple things I'll go over real quick before we get Hayden on the line. This past weekend was also Charlotte Pride. You know, my brother lives just outside of Charlotte, North Carolina. One of his very good friends works for him, is an out lesbian, her and her wife there. Went to the festival, and I was hopefully going to get some pictures, and I haven't gotten any yet, so I don't know if that's going to happen or not. But they had a great turnout. From what I read, they usually have about 1,200 people a year. They had 2,000 people turn out at the festival and the parade. It was a great event. I guess they had a great police presence. They even had to increase the police presence because the turnout was so high. They deemed it a more important event. And so even more police presence turned out. And from what I hear, there wasn't a problem at all. So congratulations, Charlotte, on a great Pride weekend. As I said, September is going to be the official launch of Left of Straight Radio Season 2. Technically, Left of Straight Show is only be in its second year, but we're going to launch Left of Straight Radio as its own website. We're going to have my show. We're going to have Standing on Your Soapbox as a regular weekly show on Wednesdays. We're going to keep Kevin and my show Thursday. And we have special new shows I can't tell you about yet, but it's going to be a lot of exciting stuff. I'm going to have special guest correspondents on the show. Randy Slovacek from the Rand Report is going to be coming on every other week. We have the amazing Josh Sabara that was a guest on our show and does the porn column for London, the London Gay magazine there, and just a funny guy all the way around. He'll be coming on monthly on the show. I've been trying to put some together with our good friends Ronnie and Eddie at Friend Movement and our good friend Alexander, who's, of course, a great media sponsor from On the Rocks Radio. So been a busy time. That's why August there hasn't been that many shows. After last week, we only had one guest on the first 2 weeks and only one guest today. We haven't been doing Tuesday shows. I'm not going to do another show this Tuesday or Wednesday. And on Thursday, Kevin and I kind of play it by ear each week, depending on what I have going on, setting up for September. So lots of stuff going on, but thanks so much for being part of it. If you're missing everything, anything at all, I hope you've downloaded the free app. Of course, you can go to your iPhone or your Android app store right on your phone. Search Left of Straight Radio, and the free app is right there. You will never miss an episode of any of the Left of Straight Radio shows. My show's on there. Healing Stigma's on there. The couple standing on my soapbox that we practice is on there. So hope you're downloading that. Follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Left of Straight, LeftOfStr, and the number 8. Of course, on Facebook, it's the Left of Straight Show, or you can follow me personally at Scott Fullerton. But we're going to go ahead and take a little break now. I'm going to come back with our guest of the day, Hayden Wallace. But I play David Hernandez's song, and he'll be on, like I said, in a week or so, and we'll talk all about it. But this is his new song, Beautiful. I think it's a fantastic message. If you have not seen the video yet, it's for all people of all shapes, sizes, sexes, orientations, colors, and it's just an amazing video. So we're going to talk to David really soon, but this is his new hit single, Beautiful. You're listening to Left of Straight Radio. I'll be back with Hayden Wallace in just a couple of minutes.
Father in the sky, and they're starting to align. I see you passing by, and we're slowing down the tide. Now my love is flashing by, all I see is flashing lights. Cause you're right here by my side, can you feel it come alive? If this were a love song, would you be mine? I just can't get you off of my mind. And I think about you all day and night. So I wrote you a love song, won't you? You're beautiful, so damn incredible, so unforgettable. Yeah, I think you're beautiful, baby. You're beautiful. I think you're beautiful, so damn incredible, so unforgettable. Yeah, I think you're beautiful. From the moment that we touched, no, nothing could stop the rush. Pick me up, pick me up. Now I'm feeling so much love, and I just can't get enough. Come on, lift me up, lift me up, lift me up. If this were a love song, would you be mine? I just can't get you off of my mind. Well, I think about you all day and night, so I wrote you a love song. You're beautiful.
And we are back. That is David Hernandez with Beautiful. Can't wait to have him on the show. Just so proud of everything he's doing, and congratulations for coming out in Out Magazine. And it's going to be a great interview. But guys, I got a great story to talk to you about today. My first guest is a manager in the hospitality field and an LGBT advocate who has already organized a vigil for Orlando and officiated a same-sex wedding. He now has his sights set on creating an LGBT pride center in his home area of Mississippi. With glowing reviews of the speeches he has given, he's been spurred on by official endorsements from organizations like the Mississippi Gulf Coast Center and even the mayor of Ocean Springs, Mississippi. I'm honored to give him a little recognition and press and hope you'll all listen in how we can make a difference in our own communities. Please welcome to the show, Hayden Wallace. Hayden, how are you?
I'm doing fine, Scott. How about you?
Well, I'm doing fantastic. Welcome to the show. I appreciate having you on, my friend.
Thank you for having me on.
It's my pleasure. We got to meet on social media. You told me about your cause here, and it's just so important. My story is I was the Pride Center chairman for 3 years here in my little Northeast Ohio burg. It's a big responsibility. It's a tough thing to get started, and you're doing it from the ground up. So good on you. I want to be able to talk all about it here in a couple of minutes because you're kind of in the planning stages. And you've already had a couple events for it and things like that. But let's start with you. Talk about you, Hayden. Where did you grow up, and what kind of brought you into your activism for the LGBT community?
I grew up in Mississippi mostly. I'm a Navy brat, or at least I was as a child. So
I got
around a lot. But after my father got discharged, we came back home to Mississippi because this is where all the family was. And I grew up in Lincoln County, the Brookhaven and Bogachita area here in Mississippi. And I kind of have always really known who I was as an individual, but you know, you mentioned I'm in the South, so of course you know the usual struggle. I try
right.
to fight it because I live in the Bible Belt. Well, I eventually just got to the point in my life right after I graduated high school and started college, and I couldn't ignore it anymore. It was one of those things that either I was going to admit who I was, or I was going to end up being this stranger in the mirror every morning when I woke up. And life isn't necessarily easier now, but I am far happier than I was just because
That's
I accept
awesome.
Who I am.
Congratulations, man. It takes a lot to do. Good for you, man.
Well, thank you. As far as my activism goes, it didn't really start until the last 3 or 4 years. I guess after I got out of that being a child phase, you know, I hit 20 and I started to really start to develop my own ideals instead of just believing what everyone around me tells me to believe. I started with social media just like any millennial does, you know, standing up for my causes and whatnot.
Right.
And I went from there. It just kind of expanded and became this thing. I eventually moved to Ocean Springs. And I was here for maybe a week before the Orlando massacre.
Oh, wow.
And I just, I don't know what it was, but being in this city, I felt free enough to do what I felt was right. So I organized a walking vigil from our front beach to the downtown area and back, which was about 6 miles total.
Wow.
And what we did is we lit candles and we walked through downtown, and I wouldn't say that we got a lot of support, but we actually faced very little adversity. I mean, we only had like 3 different people make negative remarks, which was really interesting to see.
That's awesome. For walking for 6 miles, that's really nothing when you think about it. That's great.
Yeah. And it really surprised me. I mean, I knew that this area was definitely more accepting, but I was still expecting to see much more indifference.
Much more positive or negative?
Much more negative, because
okay.
if I had done this where I'm from, back in Brookhaven, Bogachita, Macomb, that area, there's no way I would have been able to do it. Like, my life would have been in danger.
Wow.
And I know that. That's why I fought who I was so long.
Wow, that's crazy.
Just,
good for you.
It just kind of went from there, and that was when the real activism started. I had actually started a small movement prior to. In January this year, there was a transgender female back home that committed suicide. She was born as Jesse Fassbender, and she was adopted by a family here. And then once she accepted who she was, she changed her name to Jenna, and she tried to live the life she was supposed to live. She was actually kicked out of every organization she was in when she was in college. And then reportedly, I have no evidence of it, but just reportedly, the dean of admissions actually told her that she was to either wear male clothes or that she could not attend the college any longer.
Wow, this is a public college?
Mm-hmm. It's a community college.
Wow.
Yeah, and so between all of that and then, of course, you know, the adversity she felt at church and at home, she felt like she had no way of surviving, so she eventually ended her life. And it actually got much more tragic from there, because it wasn't just that we had lost this beautiful soul and that it was this hole for no reason, but her family buried her as Jesse, which I thought was very disrespectful, but I made a point to not attack the family, because that was just not the appropriate time for something like that. I mean,
right.
People were still grieving.
Right.
And then the people in her life that did support her, they weren't even allowed to know dates, times, places, nothing. They weren't invited. They were totally excluded.
Oh, wow.
But it just went from there, a very small movement. I called it Justice for Jenna. And Jenna's best friend, Eunice, got involved with me. And it was pretty much just kind of like a Facebook page that we had where people could come and grieve and talk about whatever they needed to talk about to get through it. And I eventually left that project in Eunice's care, because I was going to move down here and I wanted to be able to focus on myself for a little while.
Right.
Because I was finally in a place where I could live the life I should have always been living, and I needed to be able to experience the new things, and I didn't want it to in any way negatively impact J for J. So I left that with Eunice,
wow,
and I moved down here. And
that's awesome. Good for you. Yeah. I mean, we're starting to, luckily, we had that rash of suicides a couple years ago, and there hasn't been as many public lately, but we hear about that. That happened in January. Just last week, we had in Staten Island that young 13-year-old boy committed suicide,
mm-hmm,
for the bullying he received in school. So I'm hoping it's not starting an uptick again, but good on you for at least really starting to bring that into everyone's attention, because those things, we, like you said, for everyone that you actually hear on national media, how many more do you don't hear? So I think that's great,
mm-hmm,
that you're doing that. And so you moved on your own to the big city?
Oh, yeah, somewhat. I lived with my mother for a little while. She had moved down here a couple months prior to, and now I'm out on my own, or I say on my own, I'm sharing an apartment with my sister. But after the Orlando massacre, that hit home for a lot of reasons, but it really hit me more than it hit others, because I actually had friends that were there and I was supposed to be there. They actually all ended up surviving and got out safely. But they had just randomly asked me to go on a trip with them to Orlando that weekend. And I just, for some reason, felt like I didn't want to go. And then they ended up at the nightclub that night. So, I mean, it really put things into perspective, because it wasn't just that it was people that I identified with, but it literally could have been me.
Man, that's amazing. Yeah,
that was
a hard night for all of us. It's,
mm-hmm,
I can't imagine having that close of a connection to it. I've been across a couple people now that have had close connections. You're the third person I've had a real close connection. That's just got to make it so much more personal, but it's so personal already for such a tragedy. But wow, to be,
mm-hmm,
that one step closer, not removed, that's crazy.
Mm-hmm. It really was. It took a lot. As soon as I heard the news, I had gotten a text message from my friend Brandon telling me what was going on, and he was the only one I heard from for at least 24 hours. So, I mean, I stayed worried that entire day.
Oh, my goodness.
But for me, the reason it struck home was, of course, because of that. But this was the first time in my life where I realized that there was still work to be done. Being a millennial and being in the generation that I'm in, as far as, you know, age goes, it made me realize that there's still much more to be done. And up until that point, I had lived with this fallacy that I was safe. But yeah, I was still going to face a little adversity here and there, but the things like that did not happen. And in my personal opinion, this is our Stonewall.
Right, right.
So,
well, talk a little bit. I mean, you're 1 year or 1 week new to a new community. How do you even go about organizing something? How do you get plugged into the community? How many you eventually get involved in walking with you? But how did you even go about starting something like this after only being there for a week or so?
I just took to Facebook. I had a couple of friends that already lived down here, and I got them involved, and they shared it. And, you know, we were expecting 10 to 15 people. It was just going to be something small. Before I knew it, we had 75. And that was just the people that – and that was just the head count at the end of people that hung around after we did the interviews and whatnot. I'm sure that there were much more there. I'm completely certain that there were. And then
in Biloxi,
which is just about 4 miles east of us, west of us, they had a vigil that same night too, and close to 200 people showed up. And I mean, those are really good numbers. Those are really good numbers for this area because it is more densely populated than the rest of the state. But Ocean Springs, I think, only has a population of like 4,000.
Wow.
75 that are brave enough to come out and say, we're not going to stand for this. Yeah, I mean, yeah, that's still a small number in comparison, but that's a much larger number when you really think about it.
No, that's great. I mean, in my hometown here of Youngstown, we had about 150 to 200 show up to our vigil, and we have just Youngstown itself is 65,000. Mahoney Valley is like 200 and something thousand. So that's a huge number. Congratulations. And then you were actually recording live during the walk, weren't you?
Yes, I was. My phone kept breaking out on me, but I had about 5 different Facebook Live videos going throughout the walk. And it was mostly just me kind of talking, sharing my opinions on everything. And occasionally I would share the camera with someone else and get their opinion on something. And we actually had a couple people, you know, ask us questions and tell us how proud they were of us. I got a lot of positive feedback, which was really good. And it was a really, really the perfect time to have it. You know,
awesome.
I think, forgive me for wording it like this, because I just can't think of a better way to word it.
But
in its own weird way, the massacre was almost, I don't want to say it was a good thing, but it had a good outcome. It forced people to really think and to really view the way that they look at the world. And to see that, you know, you don't have to agree with somebody, but there's a lot more hate involved most of the time than people realize.
Yeah, I know exactly what you're saying, because we've actually talked about it here as much as, and it's very a hard way to put it, but like you said, it's a horrible tragedy, but if there's any good at all that can come out of a tragedy, it's that you're right. This generation has never had anything. My generation had Stonewall. So we had something to rally around. This generation here, like you said, your age, the millennials, the 20-year-olds or so, they don't understand what it was like to have a cause like that, to have HIV/AIDS, to have Stonewall. Mm-hmm. So this, I thought, my friends and I talked about, this could be a rallying point, and it sounds like it was for your area. So as much as it was, of course, it's a tragedy, but there can be good that comes out of any tragedy, though, I believe. I really believe that.
I agree with that too, and I think that's where we begin to come back to the core of humanity when we see things like that and we actually start collecting lessons from them. And hopefully this is something that, yeah, it might one day repeat itself in history, but it's a lesson that we've already learned, and if it ever does happen again, I think we're going to have an even stronger positive feedback to it. Like, it's one day we're at the point now, it's going to be something that is just not tolerated.
Well, man, good job for doing that. I mean, I think there was vigils all over the country, but like you said, to get 75 people in a small town like that, that is amazing. Go ahead and take a small break now. We're going to play a little upbeat song. We're going to play a little Gay Wedding from our good friend Garrett Miller from Rated G Radio, because you actually officiated a wedding too, so I want to talk about that when we get back. We're going to talk about the center. You're listening to Left of Straight Radio, the Left of Straight Show with Scott Fullerton and my guest today, Hayden Wallace. This is Garrett Miller with Gay Wedding. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes.
sister, look what we've done. Hey, mister, mister, second to no one. Hey, mister, mister, our time has come. Hey, mister, mister, marry your true love. Hey, mister, mister, hot bun. If I not say to start again, if I not say for a gay wedding, if I not say to start again. Hey, sister, sister, now you have the right. Hey, sister, sister, she can be your wife. True love. Hey, sister, sister, go on, take her hand. Hey, sister, sister, true love. It's a nice day to start again. It's a nice day for a gay wedding. It's a nice day to
are back. That was Garrett Miller with Gay Wedding. Garrett's a great friend of the show and a media sponsor with his Rated G Radio. That song is off of his album Blonde Jesus. If you haven't got his Blonde Jesus album yet, it's got some great music. Number one on a lot of internet radio charts. So good to Garrett Miller. We are talking today with Hayden Wallace down in Mississippi, and he is getting ready to start his own LGBT Pride Center, but we're learning all sorts of fun stuff about Hayden. You actually officiated a wedding. You had Denise and Danielle Ashley. How did you get ordained, and how did you come about being a minister for a same-sex?
Well, as far as the ordination goes, I actually took several classes in college, and then I just applied those classes against an online application. So, I mean, I am an online minister, but instead of it just being one of those things that expires in like a couple of weeks, I have to be recertified like every 5 years, I think. But
nice.
I'm actually ordained through the Universal Life Church out of San Modesto, California. Several of my peers, as far as that college church is considered, Conan O'Brien, Queen Latifah, I think, I want to say that maybe Ellen DeGeneres. I mean, there's a lot of celebrity names that have chosen to be ordained through that church just so that they can perform ceremonies like that.
Y'all have to have a reunion. That'd be a fun reunion with all them.
But it's actually a really unique program, because instead of it just being like other online programs where you go in and you just apply and you're just automatically a minister,
right.
They do require some minor testing. And then instead of you just being ordained as, say, like a Christian minister or as a Jewish priest, sorry, tongue tied, mm-hmm. You actually are able to perform religious ceremonies from any religion so long as you have the background to do so. So like I could perform an Islamic wedding if I needed to. It's really interesting, and I was very lucky to find that program, because I mostly just did it because right there before, you know, gay marriage or marriage equality now became law of the land, there was this thickness in the air of hope that you could almost taste it. You just knew that the Supreme Court was going to say that we're going to let it happen and you're going to get over it. And so I went ahead and got prepared, and I went ahead and got my ordination taken care of. It took me about 3 weeks to get all my certification. And I've not done too much with it. It's not that I haven't tried. It's just nobody's come to me and said, hey, would you be interested in doing this for us? But as far as Danielle and Denise go, Danielle and I went to high school together. She graduated in 2000. She graduated in 2010, and I graduated in 2011. And she and I actually took several classes together, and we were lab-based sciences lab partners together a couple times. So she and I had somewhat of a history. I mean, I wouldn't say that we were like close friends, but we knew each other very well.
Were you out for each other back in high school?
No, she was actually married back in high school. I can't even remember the guy's name, but she was born Danielle Murphy, and she married a man with the last name Sportsman, and they were together for a few years, and obviously that didn't work out. But she found Denise while she was at Jackson State University here in Mississippi, and they have been together ever since. It's actually a beautiful story that I haven't even heard all the details of quite yet. But
that
Danielle
is awesome.
Danielle reached out to me. She was actually managing a Ruby Tuesday location in Macomb, Mississippi, where my best friend Caitlin worked. And I would go over there and hang out all the time because I used to work there, so I knew most of the staff. And Danielle just walked up to me one day and was like, do you know anybody that would be willing to do a wedding for me? And I was just like, honey, I got you. I'm going to hook it up. She had no idea. You know, it was like she was coming to me just for like guidance, and sure enough, she had a minister. And,
that is awesome. I love it.
Right. But the ceremony was beautiful. I sent you a couple pictures. It was like this beautiful goldenrod yellow and kind of like a lighter shade of navy blue. And it was wonderful. I actually started out the ceremony by quoting a poem by Maya Angelou. What was it called? I think...
She's done so many great ones. I don't know. Yeah, we have pictures actually playing underneath this show. If you're listening to this on the podcast, you can always go to blogtalkradio.com/leftofstraight to watch the videos that play with our podcast. And we do have some pictures of Danielle and Denise's wedding there. But okay, so you started off with a poem, and then
I started off with the poem, and then we just kind of went into the speech there. And it was actually something that Danielle forwarded to me, because it was it was not an original ceremony piece written by her, but she found it, and it was a little different than Benoit, and it just spoke volumes to her because it was almost as if it had been written for her and Denise.
That's
and so
nice.
She asked me to kind of study up on that and read it off, and I did. And then they I think the ceremony may have lasted all of 10 minutes. And they exchanged their rings, and it was the most beautiful thing that I've ever had happen in my life. It meant a lot, not that it just I could do that for my friend, but that I could do that for anybody. I've always respected people that did things like this, but until I actually performed my first ceremony, I didn't realize just how touching it was on any level, but especially in the LGBT community, because it's something that we just got the right to do.
Right.
And it was great because Denise and I were standing up front waiting on Danielle to come and be given away to us. And, like, Denise is over here shaking, kind of sweaty. And I'm over here supposed to be, you know, the cool, calm, collected preacher, priest, whatever you want to call me. And I'm sitting here trying not to break down because I'm looking at Danielle, and she's just the most beautiful bride I've ever seen. And like
aww.
I said, you know, we know each other, so there's that emotional attachment. And I'm over here, like, fixing to cry, fanning myself, looking like an idiot.
That is awesome. I'm horrible, though. I'm so codependent that I would feel responsible. I would never allow them to break up. Because if I marry somebody,
right?
I'm so codependent. It's like, okay, now that you've done this, you're never getting divorced because it would be the one that I brought together. I have too much
right.
codependency to do something like that.
it was a beautiful ceremony because they had actually rented a pavilion, like a large stone area, and it had picnic tables inside of it, and then there was like an offset kitchen. But they had actually rented that at Percy Quinn State Park back in Macomb, Mississippi. And it had been raining all day long. And it was, of course, the wedding was going to go on and we were inside, and that's why they had gotten a pavilion. But it was almost like it was just going to be this really dark, drab wedding that we were going to rush through to get, you know, out of the rain and whatnot.
Right.
And it stopped raining just as soon as the music cued for Danielle to come walk in. And the sun came out, and it was bright and beautiful, and it was perfect. Like, it was almost like this wasn't supposed to happen, and in the moment that it does, there was nothing but joy. It was incredible to experience. Like, I can't even fully describe to you the way that it felt to be a part of that.
That is awesome. So cool. All right, well, we only about 15 minutes or so left here, so let's go ahead and get into the center here. Now, you have a group down south there. I believe it's called Mississippi Rising Coalition. Is that were you kind of already thinking about the Pride Center before you had talked with their group? Or tell me about that, or tell me how the idea of starting a Pride Center came to you.
Well, it actually started with the vigil. I had always wanted to be a part of something like this, but I never really took the initiative to do anything. I just kind of was floating through life waiting on the opportunity to present itself to me. And before I knew it, the opportunity didn't just promote itself to me. It came up to me and said, "You're going to do this, dude. Like, you don't have a choice."
Right.
Because after I organized that vigil, I was asked to give a speech, which I was so not ready for. I didn't know anybody there by name. And, I mean, I was new in town, you know, so I was having to build relationships as it was. But I got up and I spoke, and everyone just clapped and told me how good of a speaker I was. I honest to God don't even remember what I said. I really don't. But after,
awesome.
You know, after the formality of it was over and we just were kind of sitting there at the beach hanging out, talking before everybody went home, several people made a point to mention to me, you know, we would love to see some kind of a community center built here because, I mean, this is an open area, but there's just nowhere for us still. There's no place for us to call home to go where we can just be ourselves.
Right.
Other than the gay clubs, but even in, you know, LGBT-friendly clubs, there's still that weird clique system where, you know, some clubs are lesbian clubs and some clubs are gay clubs.
Of course, right.
And you know, they were telling me that they want a place where they can come together as a family. It wasn't about having a place. It was about having a place of complete unity.
Gotcha.
And it went from them saying, you know, this is something we would like to see, to most of the people that came up mentioning that idea to, and I want you to be a part of it. I want to see you involved somehow. So I talked to a couple people around here, and before I knew it, I ended up with the title executive director, and I'm heading up the project right now. I mean, we're still very ground floor. I don't have any funding yet. I just applied for my nonprofit status. I'm still looking for board members so that I'll have, you know, a governing board to help me so I don't make the wrong decisions, or at least not by myself.
Right.
So, I mean, we're still very
much ground floor. Yeah, it's a big step. I've seen it as quick as 3 months and as long as a year to get your nonprofit status. That's a big part of it, because it really helps mm-hmm. get that grant writing and everything coming together and get that money in, because people want to have that tax, the tax-free donation available to it. But are you guys looking to do a full building? Are you guys looking to rent space somewhere? Or what's your immediate visions? What's your planning stages looking like right now?
As far as immediate, I want to get the center, the entity existing as far as the federal government is concerned.
Gotcha.
And then I want to get a small facility. And at that point, I want to be able to start building huger funds so that we can either buy or build a place. Because the way that I've got the center planned out in my head is it's going to be a community center where we have these outreach programs and we provide services to the LGBT communities they wouldn't get otherwise. And I've actually already got a few of those programs semi in play. I've got a psychiatrist on call, and she said that she would take any form of insurance that the people who come to me have, even if her office doesn't normally take it, which was great. I wasn't even expecting that. She came to
That's
me
huge,
at the end
yeah.
of yeah, at the inaugural Mississippi Rising Coalition, because that organization was founded just a couple of weeks before the Jenna Center was. And it's been a whirlwind of good things happening. I mean, I've still got a lot of work ahead of me, but I'm much farther along than I expected to be at only 3 months.
That's great. Yeah, we're doing a similar thing. One of a group here calling out is called the Community of something community, and I'm bad. I don't have the name of it right now. I'm going to interview them for a new show I have coming up. But these guys came from the LGBT student union of our local university here, and they're doing the same thing. They're starting their own coalition. They actually started with renting a room from one of the churches in town to use as an office, and they're doing the same thing. Mm-hmm. They put the first spaghetti dinner to start getting the nonprofit status broke up. So it's great that you have steps on what to go by. You already have. Now let's talk about the name that I know now the name. Give everyone the name of the center, and of course we'll kind of refer back to what that came about. And you already have a couple of ideas for some fundraisers to start getting this money together, right?
The name of the center is the Jenna R. Fassbender Center for LGBT Alliance. And the reason that we chose Jenna's name, I knew her somewhat, but not very well. She and I met back in college, but she was a transgender female back home in Macomb, Mississippi. And she had come out and had fully accepted herself and instantly faced the worst and cruelest forms of adversity that there is. I mean, she was kicked out of organizations, religious organizations too, at that. She was kicked out of several organizations that she was involved in on campus. Rumored, I don't know this, but rumored, she had been called into the dean of admissions office and told that she was either to begin dressing as a male again or that she would be expelled from the college. And this is a public school. I mean,
right? Yeah, this is a story
they don't have.
Told they, earlier, exactly. And it's kind of exciting that you're able to bring her legacy to life here. Mm-hmm. Talk about now. Who's this Mississippi Gulf Rainbow Center, and you have the mayor on board from Ocean Springs? Talk about who mm-hmm. you got supporting you.
Well, the Mississippi Gulf Coast Rainbow Center it's been a program that's been down here for many years, and they were, for the most part, just an activist group. That's all they did was go and fight for LGBT rights. And, of course,
okay.
they're still going to do that, but now they're kind of trying to transform themselves into not a community center, but a community program. Their idea is to take what division is here in the LGBT community and to fix it. Kind of like what my goal is, but they're going to be focused on more like an administrative side of things, while
gotcha.
I'm going to basically have a facility that people can call home. You know, so it's the same
right.
thing, just different ways of going about it.
Right.
And the Mississippi Rising Coalition, they've actually only been around for about 2 months now. And they, of course, are LGBT friendly, but they're not an LGBT group. Their main goal basically is to take Mississippi from 50th to as far ahead as we can get, because Mississippi is infamously known as being 50th in the things that we don't want to be and number one in the things that we don't want to be.
Right, right.
So, yeah, so the idea there is for them to advance the state as quickly as possible. They're working on programs like changing the state flag, because as very few people in the country know, actually, the main part of our flag is the old Confederate symbol. The old Confederate banner is the main design of our flag. It's the corner piece, and then you have one red stripe, one blue stripe, and one white stripe. And, of course, there's
gotcha.
All these, you know, religious ties to it, quote, unquote. But it's really just a piece of history that we never got rid of because we never felt the need to. And
right.
with today's world rapidly changing and becoming more open-minded as it is, and, of course, all the racial tension that we've seen over the last few years, it's just time that we get rid of it, not because it's doing any real damage, but because it's just this symbol that we don't need to keep anymore.
Right.
At this point, we need to let it be history. I mean, of course, we need to remember it and what it was supposed to stand for and then what it actually stood for. But it's not something we need to carry around and be proud of. It needs to be something that we might keep in a history book, or possibly even at a display in like a museum or a classroom, so that, you know, you can learn from it.
Right.
But so they're working on that. I know that we've had several encounters here on the coast lately with the KKK. They haven't done anything violent yet, but they have made a point to come down here onto the coast and throw pamphlets in and targeted at that. They've thrown pamphlets into homosexuals' driveways, African Americans' driveways.
Really?
Basically,
oh my God, this is...
Yeah, basically making a point to say we're here and we're growing and it's coming, you know. But so far they haven't done anything violent, so legally speaking they're not really doing anything other than possibly trespassing. But they're
right.
not even really doing that because they're just kind of throwing it and going, you know.
Well, that's horrible.
And then
what's
we actually had the
list? What's on your top three things that you need to get done, and what can people do to help you get those top three things done?
Top three things, I just right now minor funding. I've got a GoFundMe account set up for $4,000, and that's just to kind of help us finish paying for the nonprofit accreditation, as well as, you know, supplies for fundraisers that we've got coming up. I just want to be able to better connect with people right now. You know, I've got a psychiatrist on call. I've got a gentleman that said he's got a rental venue he would let us borrow anytime we needed it for no charge. I've got a DJ who said he would work any events for us for no charge as long as I gave him enough notice that, you know, he didn't have to cancel a show or anything like that. So really it's just getting the minor funding for, you know, the first few steps before I can start applying for grants, better connecting with people, and then just getting the word out, because, I mean, it is going to be a community center here, but the main goal is to eventually have a chain of Jenna centers across the nation.
Right.
And, I mean, that may be something that doesn't get realized in my lifetime, and I'm okay with that. But that is the ultimate goal, to have a network of places for people to be.
It's great
to
have long-term goals like that. I love that. So now you have some social media where they can get in touch with you, and then they can find the GoFundMe page from there. What's your social media?
Just you can look us up on Twitter at Jenna Center. You can look me up on Instagram because I haven't made an account for that yet. So we're just using my personal account, but it's R&F_ Chef Parson Hayden, because I've got like three different types of jobs. And then Facebook. You can look me up. My name's Hayden Wallace. Right now my current profile picture is a fluorescent yellow shirt with like a blue vest, and I've got red hair, and it's just a little selfie right there. my face only. And then you can look up the Jenna Center and just type in the entire name, the Jenna R. Fassbender Center for LGBT Alliance. And it's all spelled exactly how it sounds. Fassbender is Fassbender. So it is a little bit of a lengthy name, but it's still easy enough to remember and to be able to spell.
There you go. And that has links to the GoFundMe page. And so you're looking
mm-hmm.
for a little bit of help money-wise for the GoFundMe page. You're looking for other to network with other special people. Maybe you can help build a website, things like that can actually help out down the future. What's your
mm-hmm.
third wish list item?
I guess just to keep being able to move forward the way I've been. I mean, like I mentioned earlier, we're much further along than I anticipated. I mean, no, we're still not very far along as far as the grand scheme of things, but I've got so much more work done by now than I expect that I planned to have. I've already beaten several goals that I gave myself 6 months to a year to do.
Nice.
And
I've actually got a graphic designer
that is working on a t-shirt design for us. And as soon as that's finalized, I'm going to have that posted on my page and the center's page, and people can order those online. And that's going to be our first big fundraiser.
Well, that's awesome. Well, you got to send me all the information. We're going to have a page for you on the Left of Straight website with this interview on it, and then we'll have links to all of your fundraising. So I want everyone to check that if they can't find you on social media there. Hey, it's been great getting to talk to you. Thank you so much for all you're doing and for getting in contact with us.
All right. Well, thank you for letting me on. Like I said, I was kind of expected that we were able to do this so quickly. So I really do appreciate it, Scott. It means a lot.
Well, I appreciate all the good work you're doing. Stay on the line for me. We'll be back in just a couple of seconds, guys, and I'll wrap it up. Let's go ahead and wish them a little well with some good friend Blake MacGyver, Start to Believe. You're listening to the Left of Straight Show. We'll be back in just a couple of moments.
Staring down that long and winding road, I felt like I could never start again. Flipping through the pages of my broken life, just remembering when. Before I was yours, I just stumbled through my feeble lies. But now you bring me all I could ask for, you give me all that I need. And baby, you've gathered the pieces. Maybe I'll start to believe. Looking up that mountain top, I said, how do we begin to climb? Wishing I could speed right through to all the joy, just manipulate time. But now I am yours, so I'll stop wandering through those feeble lies. Cause now you bring me all I could ask for. All that I need, and baby, you've gathered the pieces. Maybe I'll start to believe.
I guess I'll start to believe.
And though my doubts close in, I know that you'll there, I won't despair, my dream come true. Who knew? Baby, it's you. And though I falter, I lose control, your soul pulls me through. Baby, it's you. You know just what to do. You bring me all I could ask for, you give me all that I need. And baby, you gather the pieces.
I guess I'll start.
That is Blake MacGyver with Start to Believe. Guys, thanks so much for tuning in today. I appreciate you being patient with me in August as we do just a couple of shows here and there. We're getting ready for a big launch of Left of Straight Radio in September. Going to do all sorts of fun things. We'll have all the shows back on. We have special segments on each of the shows. We got some new openings. We got some swag giveaways, all sorts of fun stuff. And I just want to thank you for being part of it. Again, big shout out to Hayden Wallace from Mississippi, showing that Pride Center. And of course, David Hernandez, his new single is beautiful. If you haven't seen the video, check it out on YouTube or check out on David's page on Facebook. We are going to reschedule his interview for later this week, probably do a pre-tape on in the new season. Big shout out again to Steve Grand for being so awesome this weekend and signing all the swag that we'll have. I'm going to go ahead and sign off now, guys. We're not going to have a show tomorrow, or we're not going to do a Standing on the Soapbox Wednesday. We probably will have a Healing Stigma show with Kevin on Thursday, but we are going to start a brand new season Labor Day weekend on that Monday. We might have a pre-recorded show or Tuesday. So thanks for being with us. If you're not following us here, hit the little pink button on Blog Talk Radio for follow. Or you can follow us on iTunes or on SoundCloud or all sorts of fun places. And as always, please download the free app under your iPhone or your Android. Go to your app store, type in Left of Straight Radio, and the free app is there for the taking. We'll never miss an episode again. Thanks for being part of it. This is Left of Straight Radio and the Left of Straight Show. We will talk to you next week.